following is a previously broadcast program.
Now more than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
There's a lot of people here, man. A lot of people like heavy music, huh?
We are here to make, you know, a statement. If people don't recognize it, pick you!
In a world full of posers, the top Montreal steps forth to light the way. From the power to the thrash, the black, the doom, and the death, heavy music needs a champion. 90.3 FM, CKUT.
Let's go! Sharp right there. That is off of their self-titled and only album, which dropped back in 1997, I think. The track is called Bacon Industry. You are tuned to Metallic Montreal here on CKUT, the world's heaviest radio show. We got a very special guest on this episode. We've got the one, the only Mel from Fuck the Facts coming up later on in the program, so stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to listen to some music. Coming up next, we have Ills, the track Noose off of Curse, Metallic Montreal, CKUT.
Let's go.
Cobol right there. Eva off of Void. Before that, we heard Gaytheist. All Choices End in Death off of How Long Have I Been on Fire. Great band. Before that, Ills. Noose off of Curse. And to top off the night, we had some Carp Bacon Industry off their self-titled LP. Coming up next, we're going to play a little segment to Justin Pearson, the legendary vocalist and bassist. He's been in so many goddamn bands. This is going to be three different tracks from three of his bands. First off, Head Wound City, then Retox, then The Locust. This is Scraper, A New Wave of Violence.
Every day we arrive.
The Locust right there, hot tubs full of brand new fuel off of New Erections. And just a quick reminder to those just joining us, we're going to have Mel from Fuck the Facts on in not that long, so stay tuned for that interview. Coming up, they've got a new record. Believe it or not, it's been 5 years, but it's going to happen. But first, we got a couple more tracks we're going to play. This is going to be a band I really like, but I don't think is as well known as they should be. The Callous Dowboys, the absolute barnstormer off of Die on Mars here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Is the steak tartare tonight?
Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll leave the check here and I'll just come back when you pay it.
Fight!
the Smile, number 12, Looks Like You. Coming up next, we're going to have Mel in the studio. Fuck the facts. Here's a little warm-up. Here we go. To Metallic Montreal. Here's the interview. I'm here with Mel Mangion of Fuck the Facts. How's it going?
Good, and you?
Fantastic. As good as it could be. So I'm going to start off with a pretty boring question. I'm sure everybody's asking everybody these days, which is just how is quarantine treating you? How has your life been in a COVID world?
It's a question that you ask anybody you cross paths with, and everybody's got like a super long, or most of the people have a super long story for you. It's been intense and awesome. Like we've got a party in our house full time because we've got two kids, right? So there's never the feeling of feeling alone. Like, you know, back in March when like you really, really didn't do anything and stayed almost like your door locked inside, like with the kids all the time at home, like at least we were never bored. But it was tough to combine work and kids and trying to teach a bit of school to the older one, because we were getting really little support from the school system. So that was challenging, let's say the least. But yeah, I think there's a maximum that you can do. Like, you can't stop seeing everybody for the rest of your life. Like, it's kind of tough to go trying to have everybody locked down and not absolutely see, like, your family and things like that. It gets, you know, there's so much we're willing to do. And I know we should. It's all the better, but... But yeah, I was in Montreal. Is it crazy?
I mean, it's pretty interesting. There's a pretty stark divide between Anglos and Francos in terms of who stays inside and who doesn't. Which I always find fascinating, but I think it's because we all get our news from the U.S. and it's depressing. So what are you supposed to do? But yeah, like it's been pretty different for different people. For myself, I work, you know, on computers anyway, so I've just been at home hanging out with my girlfriend and having a great time. I'm sure it's been awesome to see your kids all the time and not have to, you know, necessarily be away from them as much. But for other people, it's been terrible. So it's very different for everyone, it seems.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody's got like a really distinct experience of what they're going through. And I'm like, I work in event production. And
oh God.
So it is, yeah, it is a really sad, sad, like, world to work in. And I'm very fortunate that in 2017, I got a full-time position as an event production coordinator at the History Museum here. So all the rest of my team were like, it's crazy. There's like, where I work, there's like 400 events a year, like craziness. And everybody I work with is on contract, and now I'm the only one left, and I've got all these colleagues, all the technicians I work with, you know, and all the artists that I can think of, and everybody's like not getting money anymore. I think CERB is done, and if I'm correct, it is a tough thing for sure. Like, yeah, I feel the hardship for my colleagues.
Survivor's guilt.
Yeah. That's a good expression. I'd never heard of it before, but that describes really well what I'm feeling.
For sure. How has quarantine and, you know, all of this changed the dynamic in the band? Do you guys still interact? Do you still, like, meet up?
No, we haven't jammed. We had a show. We were going to play MDF in May. And compared to back in the days, like, we had a lot of shows, always playing, always touring, and we really... really calmed down. I think we took a 3-year break from shows.
Oh, wow.
And and since then, we played two shows and that's it. Like, we played two shows in 2019, and that was going to be our show, or one of our few shows for 2020. But it got postponed. Like, the whole lineup of MDF got postponed to next May. And as time goes by, like, I'm really curious of what's going to be the outcome for that festival or any festival. I'm really skeptic. Right now, I wouldn't be stoked to go in the States even if the festival was happening. Like, I'm not sure I would be down. I was reading a document recently that for Canadian festival that about 60% of the festival might not come back next year if there's no like significant government funding, and like that's just scary. But that applies to a lot of venues, a lot of festivals.
That's like the sad part about being in a creative field, right? It's because there's always going to be people that want to be creative. Nobody feels like they have to protect it because they know it will come back in some form. It'll just be like a hollowed out shell of what it used to be.
Yeah, it's like the concept of getting someone to play for free in like a restaurant. Like if this guy doesn't want to, someone else will. Yeah, it's so for that we haven't jammed, but the good thing, the positive to this, is it gave us like a bit of time to finally like. We were almost done our album, but it gave us that extra time to finish it and focus on finishing the album. So that was a sort of a blessing in disguise.
So I guess let's talk about the record you guys have coming up in November, Pleine Nourricerie. Apologies for my horrible French accent. What date does it come out again?
The 20th. Wait a second.
The 20-something so of November.
When is the album coming out? Okay, I got it right. 20th.
The 20th. Okay, cool. So, obviously, go check that out. It's up on Bandcamp right now. You have one single. I found it incredibly... just, like, huge, chasmic, reverby. And that's a very different style from you guys. I tend to hear most of your other records very aggressive, upfront, dry. What made you guys choose to go that path?
I don't think I don't see a big difference. To me, it feels just like the kind of the continuation of the album before. And the album came as a, not as a surprise, but like I said, after our last tour in April 2016, like we completely stopped jamming. We didn't even think like, how long are we going to stop? There was no thought behind. We just needed to stop and just start putting more energy on our lives, I guess, and start working a bit more for like life goals other than just the band, because the band has always been such a center important point of our lives. And at some point, I think Topan, the guitar player, and Ville, the drummer, you know, like after a year of this break, they're like, yeah, hey, let's start jamming again. And out of these jams, you know, it was fun. And then there's an album. So that's just kind of happened naturally, really organically. And it's kind of cool that, you know, after a good needed break without constraint, without, you know, any pressure from anywhere, there's an album, you know, just for the pure pleasure of doing it. And this should be the reason why, not because that's what, you know, when you're in a band for a long, long time, you get into a cycle of like, okay, well, that's, you tour for your album, then once you're done touring for your album, you gotta write another album, record it, and then you tour for that album. It's just kind of a natural cycle, and it was kind of good to step away from that a bit and just write an album. But anyway, it's not going to be touring for it, but yeah.
So something I've always been curious about is, so Fuck the Facts started off incredibly noisy and unlistenable, dare I say, and has gotten a little bit more, you know, higher production values over time. But it always kind of cycles back and forth between whether it's like well-produced or kind of like a little bit more lo-fi. And so I'm curious, do you think that the project as a whole finds more creative freedom in like a lo-fi sound or a hi-fi sound?
Oh, that's a question I would have a hard time to answer. Like everything at the beginning was like really, really DIY with little knowledge. Not little knowledge, but you start somewhere. It's like when I look at, I can only compare to when I started doing the artwork for the band. The first one were kind of rougher, you know, compared to now. And same thing for Topan that did most of the production for the album. Like it started rougher, and there's in it like you evolve through that, and I guess you learn as you go, and you can't look back with in a negative way to the early stuff, even if it can be hard to listen to on some level because it's part of what made it what it is today. I do like when there's a bit of harshness in the production, but too much can also affect how you enjoy. So like a dose is good, but I would say not drenched in it. Like I had that feeling recently listening to some dub tapes I had from like my teenage years. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I was listening to this band. This sounds like I can't even believe this is a recording. They actually went in the studio for this. It sounds like you pressed play record at the Jam Space on a ghetto blaster. Like, but that was production back then, you know? Like, and with time, I guess I didn't realize how far, like, a lot of bands, like underground bands, can sound really good compared to what was feasible in the 90s, you know?
Oh, totally. You can get away with just, like, an iPad and a microphone built into the iPad, and it will sound better than, like, you know, a demo tape from 1970 something. Like, that's just, it's crazy how much easier it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So you're coming up on almost 20 years as a part of this project. How would you characterize, like, the progression of just, like, everything over that time? Like, sounds like you guys have, like, ebbs and flows in terms of excitement and just, like, I need a break, you need to get out of it for a bit, and then you come back.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I joined in, I remember from my end, I joined in 2002 in the winter, and I remember, like, now I've just passed 40, and I remember at some point thinking, like, oh, there's no way I'll be doing this when I'm 40. And you're, like, thinking that, you know, at that point I would be, like, quote-unquote, an adult or something in those veins. I don't know what delusion I was thinking or how I could picture something different like that. But now, you know, I'm here, and it's still part of who I am, and it's still part of who we are. And I think, I don't know, like, it's been amazing growing with a project like this. I would say, for the most part, it helped me. I can only speak for me, but I have a feeling for the other band members too. It helped me grow as a person. You live in such tight, close spaces with people for, you know, months on end, or like days and weeks, and to be able to cohabitate and to hear the other's perspective or choices or opinion, especially when you haven't slept and you just had a shitty show, it needs a lot of work on yourself, I guess. And looking back, that's just something that I'm really grateful for. And, you know, it's kind of crazy also to think back at all the awesome bands we've seen, all the people we've met over the years. It's kind of weird. Now that we released an album, I kind of almost forgot that I was in it, because of the break, I kind of almost forgot that I was in the band, you know. I was like, oh yeah, that's true, I'm doing this. So I don't know, it's surreal and awesome at the same time, but it's not something that I would qualify as super rational. You know, you go, you get a career, you need to get paid. That is a bit more rational thinking. But being in a band doesn't completely need to make sense of the why and the, you know, just something that you want to express. And yeah.
I mean, it's like it's like a passion that you have to kind of do, or else you'll be sad. That's how I've always thought about it.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it in my early 20s. I remember, before joining Funk the Facts, for like a few months I didn't have a band to sing in, because I had left the band before and I was kind of bummed, and I was like, oh, you know, like, what am I doing with my life? I need a band. But now that I've seen what a long break does, I don't need the band the same way, but it's a different relationship now. But it is still worth it and rewarding creatively.
This whole genre and all the subgenres underneath it, like heavy metal, hardcore, grindcore, everything that's come over the last, like, almost, is, I guess it has been 50 years at this point, since that first Black Sabbath record. Like, heavy extreme music has a legacy, has, like, a pretty old legacy at this point, and many of the people that, you know, founded the genre are, like, starting to die because they're getting so old. How do you think, like, such extreme music will kind of, you know, mature over the coming decades, since it has had, like, such a legacy at this point, right? Like, what was the first Napalm Death record, like, 1986 or something? Like, it's been a while.
I think there will or probably will always be a place for heavy music. It is still on the ground in a sense, like you won't turn on the radio and it'll be right there, unless you got some, you know.
But there's influences all over the place. Like, people do harsh vocals in hip-hop now. Like, that's something I've always found super cool.
Yeah, I guess genres will clash and merge and influence others. But I think a part of the music is not only the music, it's the scene. I think live venues, live shows, getting people that are into this music kind of together, I find it essential. And also I find it what makes the scene special to me, and I'm guessing to many people. It's kind of this huge family, you know, like feels like you can be at the other side of the world and you see someone with a, you know, a t-shirt that you know the band, you're like, hey man, like,
hey, we're friends now.
Yeah, so there's this kind of connection that I find amazing, and it goes beyond the music in a sense. So I don't see it going anywhere, but at the same time, like, who knows?
Why do you think it's so localized? Pretty much every other popular genre of music, right? Whether it be like electronic or hip hop or pop or even rock, country, all this stuff has just become incredibly internet focused. But metal and punk and just heavy stuff has always kind of been very locally weighted, right? Like, you go to the local metal bar to go see all of the local bands play, and that's the vibe, and that's always kind of been the vibe. Why do you think it's so different for us?
I'm sure someone has an actual legit theory on this, that makes sense. But if I were to guess, is maybe it started not as a rebellious, but like as outcast. Like, you're into metal, you're into punk, you're the rebellious, and you're not like the rest of society. You position yourself like outside of it in a sense, and then you, to make that flourish, you need to gather together and get music involved in that, and it just kind of creates a local scene. So maybe that's the difference.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to have her back real soon. But first, let's play some music. This is Under the Pier with Idol/Idol off of Puff Pieces.
Drive!
feel like I maybe should have mentioned this is going to be a pretty noisy episode, so hopefully you're into the grind and the math. That's all you're going to hear tonight. That right there, Constant Autumn by the band Gridlink off of Long Hina. Before that, we heard Under the Pier, Idol off of Puff Pieces. Coming up next, we got this band Meth Period. All right. This is Child of God off of Mother of Red Light. Here we go.
Yeah.
Storm O, that's Distinti off of So Spessi Nel Vuoto Bruceremo in, what is this? In un attimo a il Sercio Sara Cioso. Such an Italian person, I can speak it so fluently. My God, before that we heard Meth Period, Child of God off of Mother of Red Light. I hope you guys are enjoying this ultra depressing vibe. I sure am. Let's listen to some more emo violence right there. What's this band called? Nuvo Lascura, disguised in Skintillations off of As We Suffer from Memory and Imagination. My God. Well, that's what we're getting. And I hope you guys are enjoying the little bump up in quality. Bought a new microphone, pretty hyped about it. I think it sounds great. It makes me feel very professional as this local radio host on a community college radio.